Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Turn Evangelism podcast with T.S. Myers. Our prayer is that this message impacts your life. If it does, let us know by going to turnevangelism.com/connect and let us know how God used this message to influence you. If you would like to follow our ministry, we would love for you to go to turnevangelism.com and check us out.
So you have a responsibility to stay close to Jesus, to stay faithful to him. So how do you do this? Devote yourselves to prayer. Continue in prayer, being watchful in thanksgiving. And then Paul goes on to say this. He says, and pray also for us that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it clearly as I should. Do you want to be close to God? Then you need to stay close to his mission and you need to pray for it. You need to pray for it. Pray for the advancement of the gospel. Pray for those who are advancing the gospel. Pray for open doors for the gospel to be advanced. Pray that the mystery of the gospel, which is about knowing Christ, would be made manifest to more people. Why? Because people are dying. This is a war. And sometimes it means that we feel uncomfortable and we get into the fight. And that means if you start to preach like Jesus preached and they crucified him, you might have to be a casualty in this war. But don't worry, something better is coming. Just like Jesus went to death for you, there's a resurrection for you as well. And here's what you need to remember. Jesus always wins. And here's another fact that you need to remember. The world, this flesh that we're in, Satan always loses. So remaining close to Jesus means we must continue praying. And then if you pray for open doors, you know what God's going to do if that's his heart and that's his mission? He's going to open doors. Pray for open doors. And you know what you also need to do? And the way you walk towards outsiders, you need to practice wisdom. Let's keep going. Colossians chapter 4, 5 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The wisdom that God wants you to walk in is not the wisdom of the false teachers in Colossae. It's the wisdom that is you being close to Christ. He is the fullness of wisdom that we need to walk in. It's not a wisdom of itchy ear theology. It's a wisdom of the theology that comes from this book in the way he wants us. God's will, God's way. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. It's not a false wisdom. It's an important wisdom. Why? Because sometimes when people see you, you're the only Jesus that they're going to see. So be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Now, the word act here, the wise in the way you act here, is actually the Greek word for walk. So in your walking, be wise. Be wise in the way you're walking. And then it's towards outsider, those who are outside of the church, who need God's wisdom, who can't see it on their own, who you get to make visible because you walk with Jesus, because you're close to Jesus, because you haven't drifted away. Are you so identified with the mission of Christ so that when you open your mouth, you're trying to speak what Christ would want you to speak? You've surrendered your mouth to Christ. When you walk, are you walking like Christ would want you to walk so that when you walk, you start to look like Jesus? When people see you, do they see Jesus? Are you one like Jesus and the Father or one? Be wise in the way you live towards outsiders. How do we walk in wisdom? We walk in wisdom according to this passage, making the most of every opportunity. If you have an older translation, or in the Greek, it basically says redeeming the times. What in the world does this mean? It means to buy back the times, that you are here to redeem the time that you've been given to be here and take what seems like disadvantages and suffering and people that hurt you and forgive them and turn it to the advantage of the gospel. Your pain is a testimony, if Jesus gets you through it, to how Jesus worked in your life. Your triumphs, if Jesus is the one who got you through them, which he is a testimony to how Jesus works in your life. Turn everything to the advantage of the gospel. advantages, disadvantages, redeem the times. When I was in seminary, I had a boss, and he told me one day, he knew I had a lot of schoolwork to do. He said, "Hey, Thomas, I know you need the money. Go home, and I'm going to pay you for this day. I want you to work on your schoolwork." I was like, "All right, cool. Totally, I'll do that for sure." So I went home. Well, I went to the post office first, and I went home. And you know what I did? I worked on my schoolwork. Because that's the time that I've been given. I was the time that was given to me was paid for me to do that. I could have gone home, by the way, and I could have eaten Cheetos. I could have played Xbox. I could have watched Netflix. But that's not why I was sent home. I was sent home to do my homework. And why are you here? Why are there not scorch marks on the ground and holes in the ceiling when you get saved so that you're just home with the Lord right away? Because God has a plan for you. And you're still here, now listen, on paid for time. You're here because God wants you here. Because instead of him saying, "Hey, this is what I did for you," he wants to show the world a people who are redeemed. And what the gospel can do in a community to broken and lost people. That's why you're here. I am not the body of Christ. We are together. And when we function together as a redeemed community, we show a lost and dying world the invisible God. And it's a powerful testimony. It's more than just God saying, "I died for your sins." It's showing the kind of people that God died for continually in front of your loved ones' faces who don't know the Lord. They see a redeemed person who looks like Jesus, who used to not look like Jesus. You are a living testimony. Paul would say you're a living letter, right? The law of God written on your heart so that you show people the gospel of Jesus Christ and this new covenant that you have in him. That's who you are. That's why you're here. And my question is, knowing that you're living on paid for time, how are you spending your time? Are you taking advantage of your time? Are you making the most of every opportunity? Or are you wasting it on Cheetos and Netflix? Redeem the times. Make every moment count. If it's a disadvantage in your life, turn it for the advantage of the gospel. Verse 6, "Now let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." So first we see your conversation needs to be gracious with people. So all of a sudden you're walking wise and you are talking to these outsiders because you pray that doors would be open. All of a sudden doors are open. And now all of a sudden people are in your life that don't know Jesus. And you're like, "Okay, great. I'm here. I'm on mission. What do I do?" Now you need to speak to them graciously. Not like jerks. I cannot stand street preachers who misrepresent the grace of God. Now, I'm not saying that we get to call what's right wrong and wrong right. There's two things for grace to be grace in your life. If you want the grace of God, you have to admit that you're weak, which means you're a sinner, and that God is strong, right? Without those two things, you don't get grace in your life. So that means we don't get to call sin not sin, right? That's not allowed. We have to come to God as sinners. That's part of being, "I'm so weak that I can't, but God, you can, so I know you did all the work for me." That's the grace of God. So we do have to preach the weakness of man, it's true. But how you say it matters. Trust me, I'm married, I know, right? Like, how you say something matters. My wife taught me that, okay? You have to speak graciously with people. Imagine if you had a cancer patient and you're a doctor. You find out that you get the diagnosis, they have cancer. Are you going to go to them and say, "You're dying"? And, you know, come on. You need to be sensitive. Sit the person down. It doesn't mean that there's no gravity to your conversation. If it's real, it's real. But how you say it matters. So let your conversation be full of grace. Be gracious with people as God was gracious to you, by the way. Now, here's another side of this as well. And let your conversation be full of grace and seasoned with salt. So don't be a jerk. And don't be boring either. Salt brings flavor. You're not supposed to have conversations with people that lack flavor if you're representing Jesus properly. Be fun. Don't be boring. Show the love of Christ and the joy of Christ in your conversations. You want people to walk away wanting more. Man, there's something different about that guy. I want to be around that person again. Or maybe I don't like that because it made me feel really uncomfortable, but there's something different about him. I can see why people get on board with this, right? Your goal is to make the gospel attractive, to be invitational. That is what you want to be as a Christian. So remaining close to Jesus means that we must continue praying. We must continue practicing wisdom. And then finally, we need to prevail in encouragement. We need to prevail in encouragement.
Did this message draw you closer to God, or did you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior today? We want to hear about it. Let us know by going to turnevangelism.com/connect and fill out the form at the bottom of the page and tell us what God did in your life through this message. Also, if you would like to bring T.S. Myers out to do ministry with your church or organization, send us a message on our website, turnevangelism.com. Thank you for joining us for this message from Turn Evangelism with T.S. Myers.